want to talk about following Christ of the Bible. Following Christ of the Bible. If you follow the Christ of the Bible, you're going to find that, you know, the chasing song that we sung about, there's a different attitude, different mentality. The religious Christ that you follow is interested in good deeds, good behavior, coming to church, you know, being a relatively good person. And if you follow other Christians, wow, if you follow other people who say they're Christian, and they are Christians, but they follow other Christians who follow some other Christians, sometimes it could be a complete different picture than what it looks like to actually follow Jesus. Because people are responding to their level of understanding. They're responding to how they were taught, or many times, how they perceived it to be. Some people think they know what the Lord wants, and in fact, throughout Scripture, you can see where the Lord brought correction to say, well, that's not really what I want. He says, you're trying to give me sacrifices, but what I really need from you is obedience. You're trying to impress me with coming to church. You're trying to impress me with how much you give in the offering. You're trying to impress me about with how much you even serve in the church. But he said, that's really not what I need from you. What I need from you is your heart. I need your heart. He said, with your lips you say one thing, but with your heart. He said, your heart is far from me. But you have perfected a look and a sound and a way of doing that has the appearance of relationship. I told a young man this week, I said, the blessing and the curse of your having been raised in the church is that, one, you were raised in the church, so you know that Jesus is Lord. I said, but the curse part is that you've learned the behavioral moves. So you know how to go to church. If you go down south, here in America, everybody goes to church all the time. It doesn't matter what was going on the night before, maybe even the morning of. Everybody's going to go to church. It's just what we do. It's cultural. It's learned behavior. Mama them say, you child, you got to go to church. Don't matter where you've been last night, you're going to get up and go to church. And so it becomes a practice that's not necessarily connected to the heart. So I don't want that kind of walk. But I want to walk where I'm legitimately following after God. And that requires a little bit more. Following Christ requires a little bit more than just good behavior, good practices. He wants something deeper from us. Amen? Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to examine, just briefly, this is a cursory examination. I want to examine how he thinks. And if the admonishment here is for me to think the way he thinks, I think once we see the way he thinks versus the way many of us think, that we'll see a different kind of thinking about our following him. We're following him. He is our primary example. He is our model. I mean, you have me as your pastor, you have the associates here, you have all the leaders around that you follow, but ultimately you want to make sure that you get your eyes fixed on Jesus. You know, because there's a comparison there now, you know, where you say, okay, he's doing it this way, but Jesus did it that way. I need to do it Jesus' way. And your prayer should be, please let him at least get close to lining up with the way Jesus does it. This particular passage, it admonishes us to have the mind that Jesus has. If you're going to follow him, you need to have the same mind that he has. Are you with me today? Y'all stay with me. I know it's summertime. Many folk, you know, they they recognize who Jesus is. So they will fear his name, if you will. I don't know, when we were growing up, if you walked down the street and you came to the church,
come on.
You would cross over out of respect for the building. Now they'll just go in the church and do whatever. I saw a video, I don't know what kind of dance that was. It was kind of freaky though. Inside the church building. I said, that would never have happened. We had a reverential fear for the building. Now, I'm not even saying that that's right. Because a lot of folk have reverential fear for the building. They have fear for the cross. They have fear for the preacher. Sometimes people will be in front of me, and they'll slip out one of those fancy words, and then they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, Reverend. I say, it ain't me that you got to worry about. If I wasn't here, somebody else listening to you that's got a lot more to handle than me. So, you know, he says, have the mind. He said, let this mind be in you. So now, to allow means that he's trying to give you that mind. But there has to be some cooperation on our part to let that mind be in us. Now, we can have our own mind, and most of the trouble that we get into is because of our own mind. Did I say that earlier? Yeah. It's our own mind, our own human reasoning, our rationalizing life that gets us in the most trouble. He said, now, if you want the good deal, you want to follow him, then let the same mind that he has be in you. And because of the mind that Christ had, it created then a particular kind of behavior. Your thinking will always produce a certain behavior. Now, if you want to be like Christ, you're going to have to... Come on, say it out loud. Somebody's woke here. If you want to be like Christ, you've got to think like Christ. So Paul said, now the way this happens, it starts with your thinking, but you have to let this mind be in you. God is not a gangster. He does not just overtake and just wrestle folk and beat them down and say, now you're going to think this way. He will make it available to you. He will cause your pastor to teach on talking to him and send it to you with an email link to a digital file that's absolutely free that you can listen to anywhere on the planet, so that he can give you the mind that you need in order to really follow Christ of the Bible. Because you might be thinking you're following Christ of the Bible just because you came to church this morning, but you might be following that fictitious religious made caricature called Jesus. So let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So the question I would have is, what mind do you have? What are you consuming that produces such thought processes in your life? Because when we consume stuff, and people gather information today more than ever, we live in that information age. I heard somebody say, we have tons of information and very little knowledge. So we just gather information. We pick it from here, pick it from there. Some people actually live a Google Christianity. Google it. Whatever Google says, they go with it. They're watching videos. They listen to 25 different preachers. I think it's okay to listen to 25 once you at least get one that you're listening to and submitted to according to the Word of God, so that you have proper foundation to be able to discern what you're listening to. So you can properly filter. But everybody can't filter. You know, when my baby girl said, well, I'm going to go to Trinity, I said, okay, good. I said, now, remember the foundation is put in you, and measure what you receive by what you got growing up. Oh, Josh, sheriff's on his way to school. I said, Josh, now the foundation is what matters. You can go to any school you want to. All Christian schools are not created equal. Some are very, very conservative. They make you sign off on all kinds of documents that says, well, I won't do this, I won't do that. I mean, some of the stuff is, it borders on humorous, that they make you agree to not do it. Very, very strict, very conservative, you know. You can't even look a girl in the eye if you a man, you know, weird stuff. Then you have very liberal. The liberal Christian colleges today are working through whether or not this or that is right based on the original text, and some of them are even excusing certain sins and behaviors and saying, well, no, that's not what that really meant. It's liberal. So you have all of it, the full range. But you need a foundation somewhere so that you can say, I don't know if I'm going to go with that one. I don't know if I'll agree with that one. If you just go to school here in America, I mean, my God, they're going to try to undo everything that you thought you believed. I was so blessed when my girls went to school and they started teaching, you know, creation versus, of course, they don't teach creation versus evolution. They just say evolution, and they said creation is silliness, it's foolishness. And my girls were like, well, I don't believe that. I believe this. And they knew what they were talking about because they had been through this beautiful Harvest Church Playing Field Children Ministry where they receive all kind of information that enable them to stand and present their apologetics, defend their truth. And so we have to have the right mind. What mind do you have? How do you process life? What are you thinking? So here's Philippians. Let this mind be in you. So let's look at this. Let's examine the mind of Christ. Seven things we see in the mind of Christ. Now, some of it is contained within this passage. Others, we see it in Scripture. But number one, we know that he loved what his father loved. This is in his mind. I love my father. I love my father. He loved, y'all taking notes? He loved what his father loved. Number two, Jesus was determined to please his father. We know that the Father, in fact, responded to him and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So we know that Jesus pleased his Father, so he had a mind to please the Father. I got a mind to please God. I want to please God. It's more important for me to please God than it is to please you. I know that walking in that place means sometimes you'll look at me cross-eyed, because I've made some certain choices about the way I will do or not do ministry, and sometimes it offends people. People are upset at you because you won't pacify their religious inclinations or whatever it is that they brought in the door. If I could have a church where there were people come that's never been inside a church, and you can just talk to them straight and give it to them from the foundation, I think that'd be the easiest church to have. Paul, like Nolan, and Peter, them, like Nolan, took many, many years just taking out of people what needed to come out before they could even put in. Even Jesus said, you've been with me all this time and you still don't get it? It's a process. But Jesus loved what his father loved, and he was determined to please him. Now, look at somebody and say, now let this mind be in you. Let it. Put your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. Brother Howard this morning said to us, it's time to surrender. Let it. Allow it to be in your mind. Trade your mind, in fact. In fact, lose your mind. Like Pastor Hines, lose your mind. Lose your mind. Take on the mind of Christ. Jesus loved what his father loved. Jesus loved to please his father. That was number two. Number three, eternal things were his priority. Eternal things were his priority. In the course of a week, if I'm talking to a Christian, 99.9% of the time, if there's a concern, the concern has nothing to do with eternal things. Temporal things. Things that have no long shelf life. Won't matter after they're gone. Adds nothing or really takes nothing away from the bigger picture. Jesus was so focused on eternal things to where things that were temporal rolled off his back like water off a duck's back. I remember when he said, the enemy's coming, but he has nothing. He has nothing in me. There's nothing to tap into. There's nothing he can use to draw me into the lower life. Because my mind is on eternal things, things that are temporal, I'm okay with resting with the fact that my Father will take care of that part. Even when he was speaking of seeking first the kingdom and all of his righteousness, he said that all these other things will be added. He was trying to give you a glimpse into the way he thinks and the way he does life. Jesus is like, I'm not getting caught up in how I eat. I'm not going to get consumed and preoccupied with what I wear. I'm not going to get all involved with who shot John in the workplace and what's going on with this and what's going on with that. Jesus says, I have thinking that is much greater, much broader. I prayed, Lord, please let us get this today. Because this is major. This is significant. In order for us to ever have any productivity in the kingdom of God, we have to have this mind. Anything less will only keep us swimming around in a world of mediocrity. In this world that is vanishing, this system that is fading, and we can put all of our time, attention, emotion, resources, and everything, we can pour it into something that won't even last beyond our last breath. Paul said, let this mind be in you. Let this mind, this is a higher way of thinking. Come on, this is a higher way of thinking. I don't want to continue to think on a low level. A higher way of thinking. Jesus did not think like a mere man. So eternal things were his priority. And then I like it when he said that he humbled himself in verse 8. So this mind, he humbled himself. If you're going to let this mind be in you, it's going to require some humility. Because we all think we got the answer. We all think that we can do it better. How many know that whenever you try to walk the way he walks, that it can be tight? It can be tight. It can be uncomfortable. People in your own home will look at you like you have lost your mind because you have. And they can't even come close to comprehending what has happened. He said he humbled himself. Even to the point of death, he humbled himself. That means he took the less, listen to this now. He took the less in order to get the best. He took the less in order to get the best. We always reach for the best. Everybody wants success. They want to reach to the top shelf. But the way of the kingdom is not the same as the way of this world. This world says you got to keep pushing, man. You got to climb the ladder. You got whatever by any means necessary. You got to push. You got to get yours. You know, I don't care what they do. I'm going to get mine. No, he said, let this mind be in you. He said, if you get the mind of Christ, now you can enjoy kingdom living. You want the peace that surpasses understanding that comes this way. You don't get peace by mixing. See, you can't mix. Mixture's always been a problem for man. That's what got us in trouble in the garden. Mixture. You want to have thinking that is godly on this side, but then you want to have your own thoughts over here. You have to empty out and come to the realization that you're just not smart enough to do life. You're not that smart. I'm smart, but I ain't that smart. And then you have to realize that any smarts that you have, any ability to process anything, came from the one that you're avoiding anyway. So you have to abandon some things. You have to divorce yourself from some thoughts. Now that's repentance. Repentance, the whole idea of repentance, I saw a lot of heads go up then. Okay. But the whole idea of repentance is not always dealing with sin. Although that's a good idea too. But repentance has to do with changing the way you think, which will lead to changed behavior. See? Some people think coming to church on Sunday is good enough. It's good enough. What? I don't need to come another, you want me to come Wednesday, you want me to come on a Saturday. In their mind, they have reasoned out that it's good enough. And I don't know what it is that people think. I think the preacher just wants people to come to the building with them. It's like I'm lonely, you know? I just need some people. Can I get some people to just join me while I just hang out in here with the red chairs? Trying to help you to get the mind of Christ so that you can enjoy this thing to the max. If you get the mind of Christ, man, now you got joy unspeakable. Yeah. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Then you can really say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Yeah, most believers don't have that experience. My God, if they have just a supervisor on their job to look like he wants to do something about that job, they fall apart. Just lose it. You ever see that happen? Some of y'all say, yeah, I did it. Just lose it because the mind of Christ says, only my Father supplied my needs. He told the devil, he said, listen, man don't live by bread alone. Do y'all call it bread? My daddy used to say, you got some bread, boy? He's talking about money. He said, man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. He was accustomed to listen to what his daddy said. He said, that's how I live. See, you living by tenure, you living by the hookup, you living by your degree, you living by all of these things that can change in an instant. Yes. But then there's this mind that invests in a voice that is unchanging. Yeah. The Ancient of Days. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Come on now. Yes. It never changes. Stable. I like stability. Yeah. Men like stability. Particularly in the checkbook, we like stability. But you learn it, it ain't always there. But if you trust God, come on, somebody said, let this mind be in you. So he was humble. The opposite of humility is arrogance and pride. Hear me what I'm saying. The opposite of humility is arrogance and pride. Write that on a piece of paper real quick for me. It's what sabotages your relationship with God, and it's the thing that sabotages your relationship with the family of God. Pride and arrogance is the opposite of humility. When Jesus was tempted, the buttons that the enemy tried to push to get him to fall were the same buttons that he pushed with Adam and Eve to get them to fall. Listen to me. Which is the same button that he pushes on you on a regular basis to get you to live beneath your privilege. Yes. To live beneath your redemptive status. Yes. To sabotage you. Pride and arrogance. He said to Jesus, he said, now listen. And I want to put it in some terms that you can appreciate, but let me just say what the scripture said. The enemy said, you know what? Just jump off this cliff. He said, first of all, the angels, they'll get you. They got you. Just go ahead, leap off. He was appealing to pride that could have been, that he was hoping was resident within Christ, which it wasn't. Because the statement was suggesting that if you do this, you could win the hearts of the people because they saw you do this thing that was so spectacular. And it would eliminate, listen to me, it would eliminate your need to then die on the cross. Yeah. So this is the easy way out. In other words, it doesn't take all of that, is what he was suggesting. And he was hoping he would bite the pride bait. The pride bait, see, yeah, I don't have to do all of that. Heck, I can just do it this way. And it will make me, somebody say me. It'll make me look so good. Jesus humbled himself, went the opposite, checked him by the word, and said, listen, no, I'm not gonna tempt God with that. I'm not going to misuse what I have and then sabotage what he's trying to give me. This is too much for you this morning. I see that. Okay, summertime. Somebody say summertime. The fifth point. He wasn't preoccupied with his sustenance, comfort, or personal vision. Another problem we have, personal vision. We should all be praying, Lord, how does my whole life fold into what you're trying to get done? How does my whole life fold into what you're trying to accomplish in the earth? My work life, my married life, my parental life, my financial life, my health life. We need to be healthy physically to be able to be mobile, to be able to respond to the voice of God when he needs something done. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. But Jesus wasn't preoccupied with this stuff. You don't really hear Jesus begging for stuff in his prayers. I'm telling you now, I'm talking about following Christ in the Bible. We spend an awful lot of time in our prayer time asking God for stuff. One of the things that I taught was that there are some things in the Bible with regard to our prayer that should be a statement versus a question. It should be a proclamation versus a petition. It should be a prayer of thanksgiving versus supplication. You all know the difference? One is stating the fact, the other is asking. Now, if he already told me that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, then I ain't got to ask him to order my step. I just say, well, I thank you, Lord, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, if he said that if I would seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness and all these other things shall be added, then I ain't got to spend a whole lot of time asking for a lot of things. I got to spend most of my time trying to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. My priority shifts when I have the mind of Christ. The priority of my prayers shift. The flavor, the color, the complexion of my prayer, they change dramatically when I let this mind be in me. When Jesus wants something, if you think about it, if you follow the Christ of the Bible, when he needed something, he would say, go tell that man that I need his mule or his donkey. He didn't say, Lord, please send me a donkey. He said, go tell the man I need a donkey. He need to pay the taxes, what he do? Sit the man down to the water, go down to the water, open the fish's mouth, reach in there and get the tax money out. Now, some say, well, was that a literal coin? I don't know. Maybe he just sent the fish and he had to sell the fish at the market, bring the money. But however it happened, they got the taxes paid. And he didn't wrestle. He didn't go into deep fasting and praying and have all the church join with him in agreement. You know, if two or three shall touch and agree. Let this mind be in you. The other thing we taught about prayer is essentially agreeing with God. It's repeating what he has already declared and stated. I'm just agreeing with you, Lord. The Lord tells me that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I gotta say that and walk that out instead of wrestling. Some of you asking, we're talking about songs. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. Y'all sing that song? You know that song? Okay. It's theologically incorrect. It's the wrong prayer. Let this mind be in you. Come on now. If you let his mind be in you, your songs will sound different. There's some things you won't sing. You don't have to sing, Lord, prepare me, because you got prepared over 2,000 years ago. Now, what you need to pray is, Lord, help me to receive. Help me to receive that reality that I've been made a sanctuary, pure and holy. I'm a sanctuary. The Bible says I've been bought with a price. That I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Does the Bible not say that? Yes. So if the Bible says that you are, not will be, might be, or being prepared to be, the Bible says that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So to sing that song with the five scripture means you're not singing out of the mind of Christ. I'm preaching right now. We got to learn to talk out of the mind of Christ. We got to sing out of the mind of Christ. We got to teach out of the mind of Christ. We got to live out of the mind of Christ. Then we get the whole deal. Otherwise, you know, you can just put yourself on an eternal loop. You ever been in one of those cities that have those, what do they call those things, those highways that go around?
Turnabout.
Now, I'm talking about the highway that circles the city. All right, good. Bypasses, whatever. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Gloria and I first went to Atlanta to the conference there. So they said, well, get off on this street. So now I'm a man. I don't need a map. Point me in the direction, tell me what street to get off on, I'll get off. So we ride. 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 1 hour. And we kept, I said, Lord, didn't we just see that street? We didn't know. And we circled and circled and circled. I think we were an hour late for service that day. Wow. Trying to find, listen. If you try to live this life without the mind of Christ, get yourself on that circle. Wow. You'll keep seeing the same exit. And you say, now why is my life not going forward? Same circle. Same exit. Let this mind be in you. You want to be free? You got to think like him. You want to live this life? You got to think like him. Too many believers. There's a level of frustration I have because I see on a regular and consistent basis believers who have refused. Maybe not, you know, on a conscious level. They've not said it to themselves, but they've refused to let this mind be in them. Come on now. Wholesale rejection. No, I don't want to think that way. Because if I start thinking like him, then I got to start living like him, and his life wasn't about him. I can tell a person who's not allowed that mind to be in them because their whole life will be about them. Oh my God. I think I nailed it right there. And there's no sense in playing with it. Jesus didn't play with it. Jesus could look right away. You know, the man said, well, listen, you know, what do I need to do? I mean, I've done this, I've done that. You know, all my life. I went to church all my life. I was on the deacon board all my life. Jesus said, oh, really? Okay, okay. Sell everything you got. And give it to the poor. I can tell you right there where you're at. Because that's what he did. Jesus bankrupted himself for us. He didn't care about his credit score for us. No, he didn't care. I remember hearing Bishop Kirby some years ago said, the Lord does not freak out about pink notices. Only we do. Maybe some of y'all don't know what a pink notice is. That's a few days before they're going to cut it off or take it back. We see number six, the mind of Christ, that his love for others was translated into action. So he didn't just sing praise and worship songs and preach good messages and wear fancy t-shirts with powerful Christian messages or post on Facebook and tweet out different slogans. His love translated into some action where he said, you know what? I'm going to just give my whole life for somebody else's sake. My entire life, I'm going to give it up for somebody else. Now, we have a problem. You know, church people complain if they give 10% of their life. Let me use another number because y'all going to think I'm preaching on time. If they give 13.5% of their life, I mean, fuss and complain and whine, oh, I'm meddling right now in Jesus' name. I mean, you know, I don't know, they call me again, they text me again, the da da da. And it's like, but come on, people, let this mind. Yeah. Can you take your faith for 1 minute? Because, see, next week, you're going to be asking them for some stuff right. When you really don't have to. Because the Bible says that, unlike you, he said, if you can give your kids gift, yeah. I mean, the Father yeah. wants to give you the kingdom. Yeah. You keep begging for stuff that ain't got no value. Yeah. Seek the stuff that's got the real value, and he'll give you the other stuff. He's like, well, this stuff don't really mean anything anyway. Mm. You need clothes? Mm. What's that in the context of the kingdom? Mm. What's a pair of blue jeans? What's a new suit? What's a car in the context of the kingdom? See, when you start to think on an eternal level, you quickly realize that that stuff doesn't have a whole lot of value. I mean, from a currency standpoint, you know, in Nigeria, if you have some naira and you go to the store and you buy something, now here, you know, there's some change, you get, you know, you change, it comes up on the computer, you know, $2.12. So they give you $2.12. Well, in Nigeria, because of the currency structure, the coins are meaningless. You can't even I've never seen the coins in Nigeria. So they don't want the change. Just give me the paper and you keep the coins. Wow. I'm preaching right now. Hmm? You wrestling for coins. Don't have value. I finally found some coins because I want to get me a ring made. It was my first international trip. I want to get a ring made. What is it called? The cobalt? The cobalt. So I found some. I found a Nigerian cobalt in Cameroon. So I got me a fistful of them. I brought them home. I'm cleaning them up, trying to see what I got. Found out that some of them might be worth something. So, yeah. They said they worth it, but then I went on the internet. They said not all of them. I said, "Well, praise God." Are you getting the point here?
Yes.
I'm trying to follow Christ of the Bible. When I follow Christ in the Bible, there's a whole lot of stuff that I do practice and think and process that is inconsistent with the way he did. And so what he got, and he was able, because of this position, to become the one who received all power, all authority. He was actually set in his position because of this mind that he carried consistently, and he lived out to the point of giving his own life up. I wish I had some time. What time do I have? Good, I got enough to just go and turn this corner on this. Number seven, he was selfless. Selfless, selfless. Laid down his life, selfless. Mm-hmm. He laid it down. Somebody say, he laid it down.
He laid it down.
He laid it down. I'm borrowing from other passages. I didn't insert them, but I'm preaching the Bible. I'm not just talking. Just talking about the mind of Christ. He laid it down. If you have something in your hand right now, lay it down. Lay it down. You heard, you responded. You laid it down. You heard, you responded. Some people are still holding. The appropriate response to the voice of God is to hear and do voluntarily. If I have to come and pull it out of your hand and lay it down, that's not the answer. That's manipulation and control. That's religion.
That's right.
But if you can hear it and just respond from here, right in here, right in here, just big difference. There was nobody there to force Jesus to get up on that cross. There was nobody there to push him. And I want you to keep in mind that he struggled.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
He didn't just walk to it now. I'm just trying to tell you that the Lord wants you to follow him. But track him and see what it took for him to accomplish what he was born to accomplish. See the process. See it out of the scripture. Not out of religious mindsets and thinking, but see it out of the scripture and watch that Jesus made a decision, a conscious decision, to lay it down. Lay it down. That's the mind he had. He gave it up. The Bible said he gave up the ghost. They couldn't take anything from him. He had the power. He could have commanded, listen, he could have commanded all of the angels of heaven to come to his rescue and fix the problem and annihilate everybody present. But he humbled himself to the process because his thinking was more eternal. It was bigger than that little world that he was in. So he laid down his life. You see, we spend a lot of time guarding and protecting and coddling stuff that we should have laid down a long time ago. People pray, I want to be used of God. I want to be used by God. Lord, use me. You ever pray that? Lord, use me. I want to be used. Listen, not as long as you holding on to that little life. You got to lay some stuff down. You got to lay your selfish ways down, your self-interest down. Jesus, he laid everything that would make him feel good and happy. He put it down over here to say there's something much bigger, much greater. And it's worth letting that go to achieve that is greater. But now, to make that leap requires faith. Because you got to believe that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. And many of us don't believe that. We believe to a point. You know, you ever been going through something and you said, I'm going to stand on this and just believe God. Come on, stand with me. Stand with me, sister. I'm going to believe God. And it's good at stage one, and it's good at stage two, stage three. And then, of course, the funny thing about God is that he has his own way of doing stuff. So we want him to work it out, but we want to tell him exactly how to work it out, and he doesn't do it that way, and now we're really conflicted. Faith will say, I'm going to stand here until he works it out. I don't know what he got in store. I don't know his plan, his strategy, but I know this one thing. I'm convinced of this one thing, Pastor Jeremy, that he's smarter than me. I'm convinced that he loves me.
Yes.
I'm convinced that he would never do anything or allow anything that's going to be for my detriment long term. I have an eternal perspective. So in my mind, I'm thinking, hey, I don't understand this. It's not going quite right. It looks kind of goofy. Jesus had to pray. Jesus said, now we're here. 33 years in, I've been teaching it, preaching it, praying it, believing it, walking it out, and now I'm here. This cross is in front of me. This is the ultimate. I've been able to sacrifice. He had to tell the disciple that wanted to follow him. He said, now listen, foxes have their holes. Birds, they have their nests. I have no place to lay my head. He was willing to sacrifice even, you know, comfortable living quarters. You know, I got an issue. I like Marriott's now. Every now and then, you got to stay somewhere else. You're complaining about it. Fussing and complaining. Jesus said, I didn't have any of the niceties. He gets to the point where now the final deal, he's going to give up his life, endure the pain and suffering. But Jesus had to pray. He said, wait a minute now. This ain't as easy as I thought it was going to be. You have to learn to talk to God about it. Say, you know I heard your voice in that service today. I know what you're telling me. I know what I need to lay down. I know the areas of my life that I'm holding on to, you know, as it's so precious. But it's hindering me from really being the salt and light that you'd have me to be. It's hindering me from really impacting and affecting my whole world. I don't enjoy the peace. I don't enjoy the joy because I am holding on to this thing that I need to just put down. I need to put this down so I can be productive in the kingdom of God. And sometimes you just have to go to God and be honest and say to him, I'm having a real tough time here, but I need you. He said, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass. Jesus says, if you're going to follow him, take up your cross. Pick up your cross. Follow him. Hold on to the cross, Dr. Hine. Inside joke. He said, but if you're going to follow me, this is what's going to be required. You gotta take up your cross as well. There are some things that you're holding on to that's hindering you being all that you can be to the King and his kingdom. So we gotta pray. So why are we praying? Why are we coming here every night? Because we're wrestling. I'm wrestling with myself. I'm wrestling with my selfishness. I'm wrestling with my pride. I'm wrestling with my arrogance. I'm wrestling. So I need to get in God's face like Jesus did in the garden. And by the way, there weren't many with him. In fact, he said, now one of y'all, not one of you guys, can hang with me for an hour as I pray this prayer.
Wow.
So it's no surprise that prayer meetings are loaded. They were sleeping. They were snoring. They liked the comfort more than they liked process of seeking God's face. My God, I can't go any further with this today.
Yeah.
Did y'all get the message?
Yeah.
I just want to know, did it speak to you?
Amen.
Did it speak to you?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to let you pray for a minute. Just bow your heads and just talk to God for a moment. This is a moment. This is a moment. It's a moment that his hand of blessing just walked in the room and he spoke something to us today that could radically change our lives if we give in to it. Just submit to what the word says. No game of manipulation. It is the high life. It's what he wants you to have and experience. needs you as his body to be his hands and his feet, his mouth, his eyes, his ears. But he can't if you're holding on. Ask him to help you to lay it down today. Lay down your self-interest. Lay down your self-centeredness. Lay down every thought, every attitude that contradicts what he's calling for. Pick up your cross this morning. Come on, pick that cross up. Pick it up, surrender to it. Father, we thank you for, you know, just to be able to hear. I thank you for those who heard this morning, who not just heard with their ears, but heard with their hearts. I thank you for every person here who's already in the process of repenting, already thinking of how can I just surrender all of it to you. Lord, I pray now in agreement with them that they'll see the change. They'll begin to experience the change. They'll begin to surrender and lay down their lives. And as a consequence, enjoy the abundant life that Jesus said he came to give us. Because it's found there. It's found there. It's found in that place. I die to myself. You give me a better life. Give me the ultimate life, Lord. Help us to think more eternally and not be so consumed with this life that is short, that's brief, and has a lot less value. We are salt and light. May we serve as those agents of influence as more and more we give our life to you. Amen.